Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon from Fort Lauderdale and good evening to the United Kingdom. This is our first international broadcast for Stonewall Live, and I'll be talking with Emmanuel Ray, who the BBC called Britain's first It Boy. The interview is incredible. I just want to go ahead and get it started, so let's go. Hey, Emmanuel, this is Nate Klarfeld from Stonewall Live. How are you doing today?
Happy to be part of the first international broadcast.
I am so excited. We've had such a great time with this. You and both of you just to get acquainted, and ever since then, I've been just so excited to do this interview live.
Me too. I've been telling everybody.
Me too. Okay. Well, I have been pushing you and promoting you as Britain's first It Boy. So before we get started, can you give us a little bit of information on what is an It Boy?
Well, I guess, you know, if you look at the, apparently the Oxford English Dictionary talks about these girls, and Wikipedia as well, it's girls and it's boys. They say it's usually, you know, a charming, sexy young person whose achievements are not linked to, I mean, whose fame is not exactly linked to their achievements, and that their career is very short-lived, and they're usually popular for being popular and for being photographed at parties and stuff like that. But I think I've kind of brought a new meaning to the word, to the term, it's boy, it's girl, or even socialite. And I'm very kind of happy that someone's mentioned it on the page for socialites on Wikipedia. Because I think in order to be a socialite these days, it depends on what you do. You can work for a living. You don't have to come from a wealthy background anymore to be considered a socialite. You know, you can create your own brand, and you can also use your skills, your social skills, to work on your career. So basically, I've made a career out of just being a socialite, going to parties, being photographed, and then, you know, with that comes the fashion side. You wear different designers, you promote different brands, and I looked at it from a total business angle, and it worked. So I think today, in today's definition for it boy or it girl would probably, I would say, is a charming, young, sexy person, or you don't even have to be young anymore, you know, at his age, who actually works for a living and achieves their goals through perseverance and building successful partnerships and, you know, having complete faith in themselves.
Right. Well, let me give you a bit of background on Emmanuel before we get going. He was born in Sri Lanka, and at age 15, a professional photographer spotted him on the beach and photographed him for an art exhibition, and everything just blew up after that. The pictures appeared in a German magazine, paved the way to a modeling career. He went on to secure photo shoots all over the world, actually, the Middle East, Asia, and Europe, and then landed in London, where he started in the fashion business, first in the modeling business, then in the fashion business. And we're going to be talking, hopefully, because I think this is the most exciting part of Emmanuel's life, are his socialite evenings, his networking, very chic. I've been looking at them online for weeks. I want to come over them but I have to get all new clothes.
I just love the socializing things, even if I say so myself.
Right.
It's just that it makes me so happy that I wish I could do one every week, you know?
Right. Well, tell people how many people you've had at your networking socialite evening. Events are not, they're more like explosion happenings, but go ahead and talk about them.
So basically, socialite evening started off as a small gathering for friends in March 2009, then a little bar called Kumo in Knightsbridge, London, a very fashionable area here. They invited me to do a little party there, so I invited my friends, and there were 30 people at the beginning. This was just before I started, as I was just starting out, you know, as a socialite, as a presenter as well. So they started telling others. It was picked up by the press, and suddenly there were more and more people interested, and we started getting calls from various venues, various new bars, also established venues, hotels, asking me, would you like to host a socialite evening here? I was quite overwhelmed. I was quite surprised and even shocked that people would come to us, because it's a tiny event that started on my own. Mm-hmm. No partners, no sponsors, nothing. So I still haven't found out why it became so popular so soon.
I've been asked
to do events in various places. I've done huge events at the Millennium Hotel in Mayfair, Millennium Hotel in Knightsbridge. I've done events at the BBC TV Centre together with my then agent. So basically, socialite gathering for successful professionals from a variety of businesses who are either in London or nearby or happen to be in London at the same time that the event happens. And it's also all the contacts I have made, all the people I have met, people I've worked with from every possible industry. So we have representatives from very large companies, blue chip companies. We have lots of people from the corporate sector. And they mingle with the fashion people, the film people, people from art and culture and literature. And it's just never ending. If you mention any profession, 9 chances out of 10, we would have someone in the network who falls into that category. So I went to several networking events as well, because when you start off in this business, you need to make contact. And I realized that they all lacked one thing. There were all these people who find it difficult to approach others. There were all these people who felt left out. And none of them, not even one, seemed to offer a personalized service. So I made sure I offered a personalized service, whereas I meet and greet every guest in person and make sure they're welcome, they're introduced to others. So this trend started catching up, and more people started coming, bringing their friends. And then we also have fun activities. Say, on one evening, it could be focused on fashion and beauty. So you can have a manicure, you can have your portrait taken, you can have your portrait sketched, you can look at fashion designs, clothes, all that stuff happens. And it's all free. You just buy the ticket, and you get all to enjoy all this for free. Some of the events are totally free to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then on another evening, we'll have a change. Say, we'll have a mystique evening. So you'll have magicians, tarot card readers, you know, all this stuff happens, fortune tellers. So people love the fact that it's so unpredictable. Every month we have something different. I do big events, sometimes we do small events, like when a bar or a new cafe or even a new hotel, anybody who calls and tells me, would you like to host a social evening here? Then I would tailor the event to suit their space and host something there. And with the event organizer, Ray Clark from Crimson Edge Events, and then the few hosts who work with me, it's going very well. And it's I guess it's getting bigger now.
Well, you know, my theory of why this took off so quickly, and when I started reading about it a few months ago when we first scheduled this, is that, you know, so much things are online, and so many people are, like, not face-to-face anymore. We're doing business. We're meeting people online. We're talking to our friends through Skype. We're texting. You know, there's so little face-to-face anymore, even in business, in social life, even in our families. So what I think you've created, and this is why I think the spark exploded, is that you're offering something live, flesh, warm,
yes,
people.
Live,
right there.
It's old-fashioned. It's social networking comes back full circle, back to the old days, I would say. So it's very much like an old-fashioned social gathering. It's a soiree.
It's
and, you know, I didn't want to take away from that. That's the reason I didn't want to have a website that's interactive with social networking,
exactly,
on it.
No.
The Social Evening website is not live, and someone has to work on it very soon. I just haven't had the time to get somebody.
Right.
But the beauty is that I don't have a URL. That, I've only just bought emmanuelway.com. But the best part of this being in this business is that people can find you very easily.
Uh-huh.
And, we spend a lot of time online. A lot of people are totally, you know, wired up to the internet, mobile phones. I think the whole beauty of human, you know, communication, or the romance of communication,
mm-hmm,
kind of, you know, tend to get lost a bit. But I'm glad to, you know, even attempt to bring that back. So I hope it'll set off a chain reaction.
I hope so too. You're doing great with them. You just hosted something for A Woman in Love. Is that correct?
Oh yes, A Woman Alone. Yes, I handle their celebrity and VIP guests at the opening night of the Tabard Theatre, and it starred Daniela Lavender, this amazing Brazilian actress, who is the wife of Ben Kingsley. It's quite a nice evening.
Great, I'm sure that was amazing.
Basically, you know, doing socialized evenings and being a fashion presenter and focusing on showbiz means all my work is interlinked. So I have several people, like gallery owners, event organizers who do showbiz and celebrity parties, they all, or even charity events, new brands, companies that launch, they come to me, they hire me as a brand to do all this. So I hire people who would work on it. And so we give a whole package. We offer them press features, we offer them write-ups in my column, they get branding, they get constant press, they get the celebs, they get it's kind of a whole package. So I'm happy to be able to link everything I do. And basically, my career is my life. my life is my column. So basically, I live my career.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your column. It appears in Laissez-Faire magazine, which is one of the is it a weekly there in London? Excuse me.
Yeah, it's a monthly tabloid.
Oh, it's a monthly tabloid. Oh, I'm sorry. And tell us the name of your column.
The name of the column is Diary of an It Boy. Uh-huh. And I wrote it after the BBC referred to me as Britain's first It Boy. So my then agent said, oh, you need to write your column, change it to Diary of an It Boy, because it used to be called Emmanuel About Town, and then it was called Diary of a Socialite. So the moment it became Diary of an It Boy, people loved the name, and people read it, and it comes out in Laissez-Faire, in print, in the tabloid. It also comes out in five other publications, Superstar Magazine, Frost Magazine, Break London Radio's website, Work in Fashion, which is a big portal for fashion professionals, and also the Style column. And it's also being picked up now by the My Colly Mag, which is the first gay lifestyle magazine in the Middle East. It's based in Jordan.
I'm getting interest from other countries too.
And what really surprises me is that the column is written once, but it's published in several magazines. And the fact that it's published in other magazines don't seem to matter to these magazines. They all want it, which is great. But I've also got some... I've also been approached by other publications that want me to write an exclusive version for them. So basically I'm trying to do that because my time is very limited and I really don't want to spend the whole time in front of the computer.
Right. Well, that's what I do.
Agony. And Diary of an It Boy was named Britain's Answer to Sex and the City by Break London Radio.
So you are Britain's answer to Sex and the City.
Exactly, yeah. But from a male point of view, I mean, if you look at Sex and the City or anything related, like anything similar, like The Devil Wears Prada or Confessions of a Shopaholic, the main character is always a woman. And, a central character in this sort of setting. And I think that's the reason why Diary of an It Boy is successful, because people love the fact that I am outspoken, and as a man, you can also get away with certain things that women can't,
right.
Exactly. You can blatantly say things that girls would think twice about saying, basically.
Exactly.
Because I think in society, still, women are expected to be the lady. She's supposed to be well-behaved and ladylike. Right. Whereas as a man, if you make mistakes and if you do naughty things, you can still be seen as a little boy who's never grown up, a playboy.
Exactly.
Unfair, but that works for me.
It works for you.
Girls seem to love it, though. My God, the amount of women who love the column, they constantly tell me, they're like, oh, my God, we love your column. It's so fabulous. the guys as well, I mean, I've even had... mature people in their 60s, 70s tell me that they enjoy reading the column, and I just love the fact that I'm able to reach such a wide audience, from teens to the elderly.
You have a very nice writing style. I've read your stuff, and it's great.
Well, thank you so much.
And I'm 61, and I enjoyed it. So there, I'm in your upper level of your. I mean, I don't look it, but I've kept myself very. I try to keep myself in good shape and physically and the whole face and everything and do my face.
Oh, I've seen the pictures.
Yes, I mean
you're a silver fox.
Thank you so much. You've made my day. From coming from you, that's like a golden.
Because silver foxes never go out of style. You're like a Chanel suit.
Like a Chanel suit. Oh, I'm going to tell everybody that now. You're the It Boy and I'm the Chanel suit.
Yes, exactly. You're the Chanel suit.
Anyway. There's your life is like a gigantic rainbow, and I'm going to ask you about the film director.
Ask away.
It's called Nirpal Bogle. Is it Nirpal?
Nirpal Bogle.
Bogle, yes.
He's a British Indian filmmaker.
And the name of it is going to be Sex, Drugs, and Tigers?
Yes.
Oh my God. Explain the title, please.
Well, it's funny because when you said Sex, Drugs, and Tigers, a lot of people were curious because I'm from Sri Lanka and I was born in Jaffna. So people instantly thought it was a link to the Tamil Tigers, the LTTE terrorists. And I was like, no, it's not. It was actually a leopard, because when I was in Sri Lanka, the Yala Sanctuary Park, which is a wildlife sanctuary, I was mauled by a leopard.
Oh, no.
So I still bear the marks on my back, the scars.
Yeah.
So that's why it's called. And sex, as in I have had a lot of sex, but why wouldn't you? Sex has played a huge part in my life, and it got to a point where it became an addiction, and it got to a point where it was actually beginning to affect everything else I was doing, every other aspect of my life. That's why the sex is there, and also drugs. As in, many people have already know, I was a drug addict at one point in my life. It ruined my modeling career. It ruined my relationships. It basically ruined me. And I'm so happy to have bounced back from that. So that's why it's called Sex, Drugs, and Tigers. And it's an interesting story because I met Nirupal Bogle at the premiere of his film Cold Kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And the film Cold Kiss starred Ray Winston, who is one of the most popular actors we have in Britain. And the film talks about knife crime. And it was also made in partnership with the Robert Knox Foundation. And Robert Knox was an actor in the Harry Potter films who was stabbed.
Oh,
and
yes.
Because we have this problem now here of teen violence and constant stabbings and gangs fighting, they made this film for awareness, and it was a beautiful film. And it became really popular, and it's a short film, but I was quite surprised to hear that the investors who invested in the film had made like 4, 5, 6 times the money they invested.
Wow.
So near the cat with Paul in London slang. And the film is focused on girl gangs. And after this project is over, he wants to make my story, Sex, Drug, and Tigers. So we also have a brilliant film animator called Mina Ludgate from Essential Media who's getting involved. So I'm very excited about this film. But it's going to be quite a harsh, dark, disturbing film with entertainment as well thrown in.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be a documentary, but now it's going to be kind of a fabulous feature. So
good.
I'm counting on looking good and feeling good.
I hope so. You were also involved in the Ministry for Peace campaign and have presented at the House of Commons. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, because Diana, who runs the Ministry for Peace Foundation, she told me about she wanted me to get involved, and I got involved. Ministry for Peace Foundation is a new campaign, and it was passed. They passed a bill in Parliament, and they want to campaign and convince governments around the world to establish a Ministry for Peace. To try and resolve problems in a non-violent way and conflict prevention and all that stuff. So when I was asked to get involved, I was very interested because in Sri Lanka I was involved with the Ceylon Workers Congress and I have presented in Parliament and all that stuff. So I said yes instantly and quite proud to have been the only Sri Lankan as an only South Asian at the Ministry for Peace Foundation meeting at the time. And it was great. So she's waiting for some change to happen because apparently they're going to have this new coalition government coming in and there are several changes happening in society in Britain. So we are going to be meeting soon to continue, to restart the work because I'm trying to get as many young people involved as well to get involved in this cause.
Exactly. So this is not your typical socialite it boy work. This is branching out to human rights, correct?
Yeah, because human rights and peace, I've always had an interest in that. And I think humanitarian causes, social causes, charity works, I've raised funds for various charities. I've always had that because there were others at the beginning when I was younger who told me, it's not your problem, don't get involved.
Mm-hmm.
But my father always said, look, if you feel for somebody else and if you are able to help somebody else and lend a helping hand, do it. And because he understood my humanitarian side, most of the others couldn't understand that. And I think I got it from my parents as well, because my parents were very poor, but they helped everybody who came to them for favors. They never turned anybody away. And my mother has, been involved in cases with children, being injured by corporal punishment.
Mm-hmm.
She's campaigned for that. She's taken that to the press. She's worked with people in the plantation sector in Sri Lanka who work in the tea estates who are oppressed and suppressed. She's worked with them. And my father has helped several people. So when I look at what they did, I obviously was involved. And, I got involved when I grew up. So I think to be able to enrich somebody's life or to be able to help somebody who's being, to help the downtrodden, it's the greatest thing any human being can do. Because it's like collecting brownie points for when I go to heaven,
Karma.
There'll be a penthouse suite waiting for me.
Exactly. Very chicly, very nicely appointed, I hope.
thank you.
You're welcome. That is a wonderful story. Thank you for telling us about your parents. That's very nice. It shows us that they raised a very good son, didn't they? I think so.
Oh, I like to think so. Yeah, I did make several mistakes. I did let them down several times.
Well,
and, but now everything is fine. Unfortunately, Daddy has passed away.
Uh-huh.
And that really upset me. I was just so, it was horrible. I didn't even go to the funeral because I couldn't.
Uh-huh.
And I still regret not going to the funeral, but I also regret several other things. I mean, Daddy and I had a love-hate relationship.
Uh-huh.
Because Now, usually in the Asian culture, this is the mother who smothers the children with love. But in my case, it was daddy, and daddy was always over-loving, over-controlling, over-concerned. And, throughout his last years, he didn't quite speak that much, and that is something I still think about. And, sometimes people say you should let go and treasure the memories. I have many years. I think that's the way we start in life.
Well, I lost my father when I was quite young. I was 30 when my dad passed. And the best advice I ever got was, death is just an interruption in the conversation. The conversation continues. And at that point, I said, what do you mean? And I said, no, 10 years later, I realized that I have conversations with my father all the time now. And they're very good ones. I mean, they're all by myself, and I'm very alone. So don't worry about the regrets. I think it's going to come back. And as I said, death is just an interruption in the conversation.
Thank you so much. You know what? I heard somebody talking about channeling spirits, so I'm kind of concerned. I'm curious. I want to see if I can channel my father's spirit.
I do believe that, by the way. And I have to be very alone early in the morning, right when I wake up, before I'm fully awake. I can have conversations with him. And I know, and I think anybody can if they just kind of let themselves open your heart for it. And as I said, it's always right early in the morning, right when I wake up, before I get out of bed. I'm kind of like sitting there half awake, and I'm going, okay, now's a good time. Let's talk. You know?
So, well, that's so nice. It sounds very peaceful. I suddenly feel at peace.
Right. Well, it took 10 or 12 years before I was able to admit that to myself. And I'm not alone. I've talked to many other people who have, it's either parents or loved ones. Only one person, by the way. It only works with one person at a time, I guess. But anyway,
yeah.
We'll get back on to you. You are writing a book about your life also.
Separate
from the movie.
Yes, column, Diaries and It Boy.
So it's going to be...
sponsored by this literary agent called Britt Fluger.
Okay.
And she runs a literary consultancy called Hardy and Knox. And it's funny because it's kind of schooled on the School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, right. Thank you.
So she told me about this. And she said, look, this is an amazing story. You have to make this a book. Put flashbacks to your past. And I started writing it. And the first chapter, she was like, oh, this is great. Because the first chapter is me with my ex-girlfriend in the shower.
Oh, my goodness.
So the book starts with sex, which is a huge element in the book anyway.
Right.
And then there's a lot of other flashbacks. And it's very much like, it's like when I write it, when I read the chapters I've written, I just feel I'm watching a movie. And
sometimes
I think this is a bit narcissistic, isn't it? It's like, loving your own work. And I think, but why not?
Yeah.
Britt loves the book, and I'm writing frantically because I have to finish it very, very soon.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to see if I can take a break and go to the countryside or go somewhere and finish writing it. Because writing a book is a difficult process, especially when you have to revisit your past and the darkest parts of your past. But once it's out, you'll get to know about it.
Well, we'll have you back on and do another show just about the
book. Of course, yeah.
I know, we'll be all ready for it then. Maybe we'll get Skype to work the right way. It's working great today.
Sure.
Listen, I want to ask a couple of other questions. What's in the future? What's next? I mean, I've covered like 8 things already. I want to know what's next. What's next on your plate?
Right, I'll tell you quickly what's next. Well, I've met a film producer the producer who just produced Woman Alone, the play that I worked on, he is interested in producing 2 films. And basically, I have 2 stories in my hand, 2 stories that came impromptu out of nowhere that just came into my head. And I wrote it with a friend of mine. And we have 2 film projects in hand. One is going to be high society, fashion, glamour, and also the dirty side of fashion. The other one's going to be, best way to describe the second story is Oscar Wilde meets Sex and the City. So we're working on those. I know it's great, isn't it? They are full-on commercial films being made purely to entertain. That's our only aim, to entertain people. And we've worked out. We're currently working on the budget, and we've got interest from investors from India. Because there are a lot of co-productions happening now. So that's one.
Okay.
I did a little appearance in a pilot. A TV series pilot called Nightlife. And it's going to be commissioned, so they want me to do a full role in it. And basically, I'm playing this really funny, flamboyant guy. I'm playing myself. and that's fun. And then there's, there's several things. I'm just trying to try to keep track. Oh, and there's the annual Socialite Soiree I'm hosting in June. And that's going to have an American designer called Rochelle Dainé-Rudin.
Mm-hmm.
And she's amazing. Her work is fantastic, very theatrical. So wow. I'll show her work. And we're going to raise funds for the True Volunteer Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And the True Volunteer Foundation is based in 27 countries. And they are wow. they have started a children's village in Jaffna, Sri Lanka, which is where I'm from. And that's where the war happened. So it's for the kids who were affected by the war. So I'm raising funds for them.
Right.
I'm also doing the Styled and Frocked fashion event on the King's Road. It's a very famous street here in Britain, in London. And that's with celebrities. And I'm going to be giving a talk and everything. And then I'm going to the premiere of the first Anglo-Russian co-production in 10 years. It's called Season of Mists. And, of course, the London Burlesque Week is back. So I'm very excited about that because I'm going to be opening gala night. And it's going to happen in this big boat or something on the Thames River.
Wow.
So I'm very, very, very excited about that. And in terms of my own project, the Socialite Evenings has to go to the next level. The book has to be finished.
Right.
I really want to go and see my mum again because she keeps complaining that I haven't seen her for a long time.
Okay.
And that's like a job, you know, going and seeing mum.
It's a really
arduous task.
Right.
Yes, and I felt, you know, basically I want to make, there's so many things coming up on the table. Oh, and I have also been offered my own show on Break London Radio.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm going to take that, but that's going to eat up into my time.
Yes.
And then I've also been approached by Dirty Loves, which is a web channel and a magazine, and it's a new magazine. They want me to be their presenter and columnist. So there's tons of stuff coming, including a reality series, possible reality series to be commissioned with a TV company here. And then I've also auditioned for another reality series on ITV. So hopefully all these things will progress.
Okay.
But the thing is, in a way, I like the fact that being, you know, the working socialite, you can do several things.
Sure.
In a way, I think, should I cut back somewhere? Because I work every day, 24/7.
Right.
And I need to probably have a little break, you know?
Well, I don't know. You seem, I couldn't even list, if I was taking notes, my hand would be tired of all the things you're doing. So we're run out of time, and I just want to thank you so much for this half hour flew by. It was 30 minutes, and we...
Yeah, I can't believe it. 30 minutes.
It flew by again. So I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, my first international show. I want everyone to know that www.blogtalkradio.com/StonewallLive, which this is how you're finding me, is part of the Stonewall National Museum and Archive in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'm going to ask Emmanuel on an email later to send us a picture of himself and a memento from one of his shows, and we're going to put it in our archive, and it'll be kept here forever in the history of the gay world.
Oh, my God, I'm going to be part of gay history.
Forever. We have a vault with 40 tons of gay work in there. Anyway,
LGBT history, I am so happy. I'm so proud.
Actually,
I feel so good today, purely because of this is an iconic...
This is huge, and I've got to get it going.
Life. Wow.
Okay, listen, I'm going to say goodbye, and thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you,
Emmanuel. You're welcome. It's been an absolute pleasure, and the pleasure is all mine.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.